Well, hello, folks, and welcome to this edition of My Car Guru. This is a pristine and never before heard or recorded or anything edition of My Car Guru. It is fresh right out of the oven. Can't you just feel the heat coming off of it? I can. I'm going to tell you a little bit of a story. It's not a really long story, and it's not really that good of a story, but it's a story nonetheless. You know, when you get something new, you kind of want to preserve it, especially if it's a car. People get protective of their cars when they're new. You know, they'll go to a Walmart or, you know, Publix or some grocery store, and they'll make sure that they park in a very secure place. Secure from what? Secure from dents and dings. Other human beings do not have respect for their new car, do they? No, a lot of people are in a hurry when they go to Walmart. They don't really want to be there anyway. Or maybe they do. Maybe they're those people that go to Walmart just to be seen. But in this particular case, most people just want to protect their car. You know, they don't want door dings on their car. You know, they don't park under trees either. They don't want bird doo-doo on their tree, on their new paint finish. They actually wash their car every chance they get. They'll go through car washers, or they'll hand wash it maybe the first time so they can really get a good feel for their car. They're real thorough as far as oil changes and stuff like that. But, you know, just like other things that we buy, the new wears off. And we start, like, treating our vehicle with a little less respect. We're just looking for a parking place, you know. We just want to go in. It doesn't matter. Somebody opens their door on our car, big deal. It's just a dent. And, you know, as far as washing the car, maybe once a quarter. We fall out of love, I guess. And we're not protective. Now, some people aren't that way. I had a good customer of mine that he actually, when he washed his car, did it always in his own driveway. He washed the underside of his car as well. I'm not kidding. He would get on a creeper, you know, those things you lay on and have wheels on it to roll around. Mechanics use those. Well, he had one too, and he would use that, and he would use a wash mitten on the frame rails of his trucks. Yeah. His truck was one that you wanted to buy after he drove it. He would trade every year for $1,000. I remember back in the old days, we used to be able to do that. I remember one time I had to ask him $5,000, and I thought he was going to hit the ceiling. Matter of fact, I think he left me and went and bought a new Chevy truck from another dealer. How dare I insult him? But he eventually came back. He forgave me. He realized that inflation actually is a real thing. And so he came back. But let's get back to the story. You know, that happened to me one time. I actually got a new F-250. I'd ordered it. Finally came in. Back then, it only took 8 to 10 weeks to get a vehicle. Now it takes a little bit longer, 6 months. No, it's not that bad. I got my new F-150 in 12 weeks. But yeah, this new F-250, I drove it home. I was so proud. My wife wanted me to get pizza, so I stopped it. I wasn't really thinking. I just wanted fast pizza. Stopped at Little Caesars. Got a couple pizzas. Driving, and I really didn't want to put in my car and make my new vehicle smell like pizza, because that lingers. But made it home. I even did something I wouldn't do very often. I actually opened the sunroof on it because I just wanted to. It was a nice day, and I just wanted to experience the, you know, nature as I was driving to my house. It's only one problem. I got home, you know, pizzas, and we had a good. I forgot that I had left the sunroof open. It was a bright sunny day, and I guess I had other things on my mind. The next morning, I go out to my car. It had rained. Yep, it had rained inside my brand new F-250. I opened the door, had my grandson with me. The words were thought. They just weren't said out loud because he was with me. I was so mad at me. Opened that door and there were puddles of water, standing water in my leather seats. And they were heated and cooled seats as well. The carpet wasn't wet. It was saturated. The dash, what there was standing water in the console. What do you do about that? You know, the average consumer would probably just get some towels and, you know, soak up the water as best they could. Maybe use a shop vac or something like that. Folks, that won't cut it when it's that wet. If it's damp, maybe. But if it's really soaking wet, you got to pull everything out. You got to take the leather off the seats. You got to get all the water off all of the electronics. You got to pull the console out, all of the carpet out. I mean, my carpet was ruined. I got it all replaced. My insurance paid for it. Thank goodness I had already gotten insurance on the thing. It was awful. Isn't it great to have insurance that pays for self-inflicted wounds? But that's exactly what happened. But back to the story about other people. You know, it's so easy to talk about other people. I try to talk about myself and my ignorant things that I do, too, just so you can, you know, relate to me as a real person, because I do screw up a lot. But, you know, I try to prevent issues for people. That's why I have a radio show, to prevent things from happening before they happen. Now, I can help on some things after they happen, but the vast majority, people go in and buy a car on a Saturday and with no intentions of buying a car and pay $10,000 too much. I can't help you. And, you know, unless a fraud was committed, and then you'd probably need a lawyer. So the new wears off on that once cherished item in your garage, and you start abusing it. Or let's say you just start treating it like a redheaded stepchild. That was always the, no offense against redheaded stepchildren. They're great, I'm sure. But, you know, that you start treating your car like it's just an appliance. That's when the damage starts. That's when the depreciation really starts. Now, depreciation has not been a problem for the last 2 years. And I'll give you a little tip about how to prevent as much as rapid a depreciation on your vehicle, and also tell you what's happening in the used car market right after this break. Okay, I am back. You know, it's funny, this new F-150, this 2023 F-150 that I have outside, just came in. It's also the same color as that F-250 that I left the sunroof open on. The last F-150, the one I'm getting ready to trade in, has never had the sunroof open. Why do you have a sunroof, Lenny? Well, because resale value. You know, resale value matters, and sometimes you goof up on resale value when you buy a house. You know, you buy a four-bedroom house with one bathroom. That wasn't smart. You know, you buy a car that is loaded, leather, sun, or has leather and heated seats and cooled seats, but you don't get a sunroof. Unfortunately, most of the people do use their sunroofs when they have. Well, maybe that's a misnomer. I don't know. Do you use your sunroof? A lot of people say, well, I drive all the time with my sunroof. Even when it's cold, yeah, I just turn the heat on. You know, I just don't open it. I don't like my, of course, the hair is thinning on top of my head, and I don't want any more to blow off. Depreciation, it's a real thing. You know, go lease a car right now. The lease companies are all in a tizzy because they have no idea what used cars are going to do. Used cars, now when I say used cars, I'm talking trucks too, especially sports cars, full-size trucks, big SUVs like Yukons and Denalis and Suburbans and, you know, just anything like that. They have fallen like a rock in the last two months, but it's really been about 3 to 4 months. Lost as much as 30% of their value. Now, they held steady and were going up. You know, back before the pandemic, everything was, you know, going down, down, down. And then all of a sudden, pandemic hits. Chip shortage happens. Whoa, there's no new cars to buy. What are we going to do? Buy used cars. That's what happened. They start going up, 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 up. And you know, if you actually had to do a financial statement for yourself and tell people what you're worth, your net worth was going up every month because the cars that were in your driveway were going up in value. It was probably your most appreciating asset. Not now. They have really taken a hit. Sorry if you're driving a Suburban and you financed it for 84 months and your payment, you know, and you'd like to trade every couple of years, don't even think about it. Because they have fallen like a rock. Now, other basic used cars, you know, like maybe a CRV, Honda CRV or a Nissan Rogue, you know, small SUVs, small crossovers, a lot of small cars, you know, like Nissan Altimas, Honda Accord, stuff like that. They're not depreciating as fast. They've started down a little bit, but it's kind of flattened out. So if you're in a panic state, you're wanting to go trade cars and you want to know, well, you know, what kind of condition or what kind of value am I going to be able to get out of the car in its condition, miles and so forth. Give me a call. I'll help you. 423-552-2020. That's my cell phone number. That's the hotline for the guru. So you might want to know what's going on before you go into the dealership. That's obviously the best time to get the information. So what can you do? You know, that I was talking earlier about the story and about how people start abusing their vehicle, their asset. Well, it's, you know, maybe flattened out or it's going down in value. What can you do? Well, start treating it like you did when it was new. Wash it. Don't go through a car wash. Get it hand washed. Sorry about you folks that own car washes. I know you say that it doesn't touch the car. It's touchless. Malarkey. It touches the car, and those things are spinning around and slapping on your car. They were just slapping on the car just before you, raking dirt off of it, and now a lot of that's going on your car. If you hand wash your car, you don't have to worry about that. So get it hand washed, vacuum the carpet, get those stains out of the seat, keep your oil changed on a regular maintenance schedule, keep all of your receipts in your glove box if you're lazy. If you're not lazy, actually write it down in a book and keep the receipts. Follow the maintenance schedule. Don't do it. You don't have to do everything that the dealership or the repair center says. If they say, well, you need to flush your power steering system, tell them Lenny Lawson said that's a waste of money and time. Now, your cooling system, flush it. Transmission system, flush your transmission, nah. What else could you do? I've heard of flushing the brake system. No, don't bother. As long as you're stopping good, don't worry about it. But your cooling system, that's a different beast right there. If you're waiting like 100,000 miles to change your coolant, like the manufacturer says, you waited too long. Take the cap off, the radiator cap. Looks like mud. It is. You know, you need to fix that. You need to flush your cooling system about every 50,000 miles. But all I'm trying to say is take care of your car. Flatten out that depreciation curve. You want it going in the upper direction. I tell you what, when somebody pulls into the dealership and you see a clean car with clean wheels, newer, you know, decent tires, the windows are clean, you open the door and it smells good. You know, you've obviously changed your oil. It has one of those stickers up in the left-hand corner where you just had your oil change. Dealers like that. They say, you know what they call those? Cream puffs. Yeah, they still call them cream puffs. They're going to reward you for that because of the condition is nice. You know, and that's true even if you have 150,000 miles on it. But if you drive in and it's nasty, dirty, and it doesn't look like it's been washed in 6 months because it hasn't been, you can barely see out of the windows, there's McDonald's bags, like it's almost like you're collecting McDonald's bags in the back. You know, and there's stains. Folks, I just can't. Some of these cars I don't even want to sit in. I can't imagine what their house looks like, but that's not for me to judge. But they're going to get punished as far as the dollar value for their car. Not only because it's going to cost a lot of money to recondition the car and get it to where it's sellable, but because you don't know what you can't see. If the outside of the car looks that bad, you know, what's the inside of the engine look like? How's it going to perform? You know, what kind of rough treatment has this car had? And, you know, a lot of guys, they don't even bother to test drive the car. If it looks bad enough, they'll just make up a number, you know, because they just don't want to get in it. I've seen them that bad before. I don't know if you have or not. And some of this is not the majority of people. Most people take care of their stuff, but a lot of people don't. And they're the ones I'm talking to right now. There's some other things that you can do. You know, as soon as you buy a new car, if it's got carpeted mats in it, pull them out and store them in the garage and put in some WeatherTech mats or get the mats like I did from Ford. For my new F-150, it's got brand new rubber mats in it. And if I spill something there, then it will... It'll keep it from going anywhere else, and I can just dump it out. Same thing in the back. I also buy those little things. Now, this is a really cool deal. You can buy them at parts stores. You can get them online as well. But it's a slight, it's a little flat container. It's like a, it looks like a garbage can that's been squashed. And it slides in between the console on your car and the seat. And so if you drop anything, it's not going to the floor. If you spill anything, it's not going to the floor. How many times you dropped a French fry and it just goes into the Netherlands? Well, if you drop that French fry now and you have one of these, it goes right into there and you can slide it out, dump it out, and slide it right back in. So, you know, there are things that you can do for your car. There are protective finishes that you can put on your car. If it's got the word ceramic in it, then it's probably a longer lasting, it's actually a chemical bonding that takes place on a microscopic level on your paint. If you look at paint from the side under a microscope, it looks like the surface of the moon. It's got all kinds of craters in it. And that's where dust and dirt and grime and who knows, nuclear fallout, you know, it falls into those grooves and all of a sudden the paint looks bad. And it can actually degrade the clear coat, and then it, when it gets through the clear coat, it gets down into the actual color, and then the paint starts letting loose, peeling off. But if you put a nice coating on that paint, and you do that at least once a year, or let somebody who's an expert do it, 5, 6, 7 years from now, that paint's going to look just like new because you take care of it, and it makes a difference. It's like, well, I mean, it's the same thing as taking care of your house. I mean, if you're getting ready to sell your house, you're going to vacuum the carpets and wash the windows and do all that kind of stuff. And if you keep your house clean anyway, it's not that big of a deal. You might pick up a little bit. But, you know, when they walk somebody through your house that you're asking $500,000 for, then your chances of getting a better, a favorable opinion, you know, by the people that are thinking about buying it are much greater. Because they'll think, well, these people take care of their house. It does make a difference, folks. So if you are thinking about buying a car in the next few months, you know, we're getting, it won't be long before it's spring selling season. People are buying cars every day, even in the middle of winter. If you're thinking about that, then start getting your trade-in ready. Start taking better care of it. And the dollars will return to you. You know, if I look in, for example, if you're getting ready to trade, let's say you didn't put carpeted mat or you didn't pull the carpeted mats out. You use them and now they look terrible. Then before you go to trade at the dealership, go buy you a new set of floor mats. Pull those out, vacuum underneath the carpet, and put some WeatherTex in there. Because when the dealership looks at that, now how much are WeatherTex? Well, $150 or so. Now you can go to Walmart and you can buy probably the $50 rubber mats, but put the rubber mats in there. And then if your carpet's all stained, get it cleaned first. Then put the mats in there because the dealership will probably look under the mats. But I'm telling you, it has a, it's a psychological impact that you're doing to the person that's looking at your vehicle. Whether you're selling it to a dealer as a trade-in or you're selling it to somebody, you know, because you have a for sale sign stuck in the windshield in your front yard, you're selling it either way. The dealer isn't just making a donation to your car. He is buying your car. And anytime you want a human being to buy something, you want to make it look good because it gives them warm fuzzies. All right. I'm going to take my last break. I'll be back here in just a minute. Okay, I am back. Boy, if you want to see something pretty, come down to Gateway Ford and look at our showroom. We have got a killer Mustang display there. We just happened to get in 2 Mach 1s, which is kind of rare. I was surprised we could even get them. These are Mach 1 Mustangs. One's a 2022, brand new, on the same truck. We got a 2023 model and a brand new 2023 convertible Mustang GT. Can you sell convertibles in the winter, Lenny? Yeah. You know, as good as convertibles are these days, convertible tops, they don't really let in a lot of noise and stuff like they used to. And sitting right beside that convertible Mustang is my 1966 GT. Well, it's not GT. It's a fastback K-code Mustang. People say, what's K-code? Well, that's the engine. And, you know, the interesting thing about this is that That was the most powerful engine you could get in a regular Mustang. You could get a Shelby, and it had about 325 horsepower. This K-Code is the most powerful engine you could get in just a regular from the factory, not going through Carroll Shelby's custom shop. And it has 271 horsepower. The Mach 1 has 485 horsepower. Isn't that crazy? Has a seven-speed manual transmission. The 66 has a four-speed. And you got to be almost Arnold Schwarzenegger to push the clutch in. And, of course, the new cars, they're really easy. And they won't even roll back. You know, in the old days when you're learning to drive a straight shift, how that was the greatest fear is when you got to a hill, you push in the clutch and the thing would roll back, and then you'd kill it about 15 times. And people are honking their horns and you're sweating and crying. That happened to my daughter, Audrey. She cried. She just cried. I said, "What are you crying about?" She said, "I'm embarrassed." So anyway, that happens, but that won't happen on these new cars. They have this automatic hold. It'll just sit there. You let your foot off the brake, push the clutch in. It's not going anywhere until you start to let out a clutch. It makes driving a straight shift so much easier. Oh, and on the other side of the showroom is a Bronco Raptor. Now, those are really rare. This is the Arnold Schwarzenegger of Broncos, and it's called a Raptor, and it's pretty rare stuff. Some dealers were selling those for, like, I don't know, $30,000 over sticker. Two other dealers. It's crazy. It's kind of like a Ford GT500 or something. They're just commanding ridiculous prices. And it's all the law of supply and demand. But again, if you have any issues, if I can help you with anything, I'm a new car dealer with a twist. I tell it like it is. 423-552-2020. Or you can email me at Lenny, L-E-N-N-I-E, Lawson. 2020@gmail.com, and I'll see you next time.